the 19th of March. Up and betimes to the Old Swan and by water to Whitehall, and thence to William Coventry, where stayed but a little to talk with him, and thence by water back again, it being a mighty fine clear spring morning. Back to the Old Swan and drank at Mitchell's, whose house goes up apace, but I could not see Betty, and thence walked all along Thames Street, which I have not done since it was burnt, as far as Billingsgate, and there do see a brave street likely to be, many brave houses being built, and of them a great many by Mr. Jaggard. But the raising of the street will make it mighty fine. So to the office, where busy all the morning. At noon, home to dinner, and thence to the office, very busy till 5 o'clock. And then to ease my eyes, I took my wife out and Deb to the change, and there bought them some things. And so home again and to the office, ended my letters, and so home to read a little more in last night's book, with much sport, it being a foolish book. And so to supper and to bed. This afternoon I was surprised with a letter without a name to it, very well writ in a good style, giving me notice of my cousin Kate Joyce's being likely to ruin herself by marriage, and by ill reports already abroad of her. And I do fear that this keeping of an inn may spoil her, being a young and pretty comely woman, and thought to be left well. I did answer the letter with thanks and good liking, and am resolved to take the advice he gives me and go see her and find what I can. But if she will ruin herself, I cannot help it, though I shall be troubled for it. The 20th of March. Up betimes, and to my office, where we had a meeting extraordinary, to consider of several things, among others the sum of money fit to be demanded ready money to enable us to set out 27 ships, everybody being now in pain for a fleet, and everybody endeavouring to excuse themselves for the not setting out of one. And our true excuse is lack of money. At it all the morning, and so at noon, home to dinner with my clerks, my wife and Deb being busy at work above in her chamber, getting things ready and fine for her going into the country a week or two hence. I away by coach to Whitehall, where we met to wait on the Duke of York, and as soon as prayers were done, it being Good Friday, he came to us and we did a little business and presented him with our demand of money, and so broke up. And I thence by coach to Kate Joyce's, being desirous and in pain to speak with her about the business that I received a letter yesterday, but had no opportunity of speaking with her about it, company being with her. So I only invited her to come and dine with me on Sunday next, and so away home, and, for saving my eyes, at my chamber all the evening, pricking down some things and trying some conclusions upon my vial, in order to the inventing a better theory of music than hath yet been abroad, and I think verily I shall do it. So to supper with my wife, who is in very good humour with her working, and so am I, and so to bed. This day at court I do hear that Sir William Penn doth command the summer's fleet, and Mr. Prodgers of the bedchamber, as a secret, told me that the Prince Rupert is troubled at it, and several friends of his have been with him to know the reason of it, so that he doth pity Sir William Penn, whom he hath great kindness for, that he should not at any desire of his be put to this service, and thereby make the prince his enemy, and contract more envy from other people. But I'm not a whit sorry if it should be so. First for the king's sake, that his work will be better done by William Penn than the prince, and next, that Penn, who is a false rogue, may be bit a little by it. The 21st of March. Up betimes to the office, and there we sat all the morning. At noon, home with my clerks, a good dinner, and then to the office and wrote my letters, and then abroad to do several things and pay what little scores I had. And, among others, to Mistress Martin's, and there did give 20 shillings to Mistress Cragg, her landlady, who was my valentine in the house, as well as Doll Lane. Here, yo did hacer la cosa with Mistress Martin backward. So home, and to the office, there to end my letters, and so home where Betty Turner was to see my wife. And she being gone, I to my chamber to read a little again, and then after supper to bed. The 22nd of March, Easter Day. I up and walked to the temple, and there got a coach and to Whitehall, where spoke with several people and find by all that Penn is to go to sea this year with this fleet, and they excuse the prince's going by saying that it is not a command great enough for him. Here I met with Brisbane, and after hearing the service at the King's Chapel, where I heard the Bishop of Norwich, Dr. Reynolds, the old Presbyterian, begin a very plain sermon, he and I to the Queen's Chapel, and there did hear the Italians sing, and indeed their music did appear most admirable to me, beyond anything of ours. I was never so well satisfied in my life with it. So back to Whitehall, and there met Mr. Pierce, and adjusted together how we should spend tomorrow together. And so, by coach, I home to dinner where Kate Joyce was, as I invited her, and had a good dinner, only she and us. And after dinner she and I alone to talk about her business, as I designed. And I find her very discreet, and assures me she neither doth nor will incline to the doing anything towards marriage, without my advice, and did tell me that she had many offers, and that Harmon and his friends would fain have her, but he is poor, and hath poor friends, and so it will not be advisable. But that there is another, a tobacconist, one Holinshed, whom she speaks well of to be a plain, sober man, and in good condition, that offers her very well, and submits to me my examining and inquiring after it, if I see good, which I do like of it, for it will be the best for her to marry, I think, as soon as she can, at least to be rid of this house, for the trade will not agree with a young widow that is a little handsome, at least ordinary people think her so. Being well satisfied with her answer, she anon went away, and I to my closet to make a few more experiments of my notions in music, and so then my wife and I to walk in the garden, and then home to supper and to bed. The 23rd of March. Up, and after discoursing with my wife about many things touching this day's dinner, I abroad, and first to the tavern to pay what I owe there, but missed of seeing the mistress of the house, and there bespoke wine for dinner, and so away thence and to Bishopsgate Street, thinking to have found a harpsichon maker that used to live there before the fire, but he is gone, and I have a mind forthwith to have a little harpsichon made me, to confirm and help me in my music notions, which my head is nowadays full of, and I do believe will come to something that is very good. Thence to Whitehall, expecting to have heard the Bishop of Lincoln, my friend, preach, for so I understand he would do yesterday, but was mistaken, and therefore away, presently back again, and there find everything in good order against dinner. And at noon come Mr. Pierce, and she and Mistress Manuel, the Jew's wife, and Mistress Corbett and Mistress Pierce's boy and girl. But we are defeated of Nip by her being forced to act today, and also of Harris, which did trouble me, they being my chief guests. However, I had an extraordinary good dinner, and the better because dressed by my own servants, and were mighty merry. And here was Mr. Pelling, by chance, came and dined with me. And after sitting long at dinner, I had a barge ready at Tower Wharf to take us in. And so we went, all of us, up as high as Barn Elms, a very fine day, and all the way sang, and Mistress Manuel sings very finely, and is a mighty, discreet, sober-carriaged woman, that both my wife and I are mightily taken with her, and sings well, and without importunity, or the contrary. At Barn Elms we walked round, and then to the barge again, and had much merry talk and good singing, and came before it was dark back to the New Exchange Stairs, and there landed and walked up to Mistress Pierce's, where we sat a while, and then up to their dining-room, and so having a violin and theorbo, did fall to dance, here being also Mr. Floyd come thither, and by Mr. Harris. But there being so few of us that could dance, and my wife not being very well, we had not much pleasure in the dancing. There was Nip also, by which with much pleasure we did sing a little, and so about 10 o'clock I took coach with my wife and Deb, and so home, and there to bed. The 24th of March. Up pretty betimes, and so there comes to me Mr. Shish, to desire my appearing for him to succeed Mr. Christopher Pett, lately dead, in his place of Master Shipwright of Deptford and Woolwich, which I do resolve to promote when I can. So, by and by, to Whitehall, and there to the Duke of York's chamber, where I understand it is already resolved by the King and Duke of York that Shish shall have the place. From the Duke's chamber, Sir William Coventry and I to walk in the matted gallery, and there, among other things, he tells me of the wicked design that now is at last contriving against him, to get a petition presented from people that the money they have paid to William Coventry for their places may be repaid them back, and that this is set on by Temple and Hollis of the Parliament, and among other mean people in it, by Captain Tatnall, and he prays me that I will use some effectual way to sift Tatnall what he doth, and who puts him on this business, which I do undertake, and will do with all my skill for his service, being troubled that he is still under this difficulty. Thence up and down Westminster by Mistress Burroughs, her mother's shop, thinking to have seen her, but could not, and therefore back to Whitehall, where great talk of the tumult at the other end of the town, about Moorfields among the prentices, taking the liberty of these holidays to pull down bawdy houses. And, Lord, to see the apprehensions which this did give to all people at court, that presently order was given for all the soldiers, horse and foot, to be in arms, and forthwith alarms were beat by drum and trumpet through Westminster, and all to their colours and to horse, as if the French were coming into the town. So Creed, whom I met here, and I, to Lincoln's Inn Fields, thinking to have gone into the fields to have seen the prentices. But here we found these fields full of soldiers, all in a body, and my Lord Craven commanding of them, and riding up and down to give orders like a madman. And some young men we saw brought by soldiers to the guard at Whitehall, and overheard others that stood by say that it was only for pulling down of bawdy houses. And none of the bystanders finding fault with them, but rather of the soldiers for hindering them. And we heard a justice of peace this morning say to the king that he had been endeavouring to suppress this tumult, but could not, and that imprisoning some in the new prison at Clerkenwell, the rest did come and break open the prison and release them, and that they do give out that they are for pulling down of bawdy houses, which is one of the great grievances of the nation, to which the king made a very poor, cold, insipid answer. Why do they go to them, then? And that was all, and had no mind to go on with the discourse. Mr. Creed and I to dinner to my Lord Crewe, where little discourse, there being none but us at the table, and my Lord and my Lady Jemima. And so, after dinner away, Creed and I to Whitehall, expecting a committee of Tangier, but came too late. So I to attend the council, and by were called in with Lord Brunker and Sir William Penn, to advise how to pay away a little money to most advantage to the men of the yards, to make them dispatch the ships going out. And there I did make a little speech, which was well liked. And after all it was found most satisfactory to the men, and best for the king's dispatch, that what money we had should be paid weekly to the men for their week's work, until a greater sum could be got to pay them their arrears, and then discharge them. But, Lord, to see what shifts and what cares and thoughts there was employed in this matter, how to do the king's work and please the men and stop clamours, would make a man think the king should not eat a bit of good meat till he hath got money to pay the men. But I do not see the least print of care or thoughts in him about it at all. Having done here, I out and there met Sir Freshville Hollis, who doth still tell me that above all things in the world he wishes he had my tongue in his mouth, meaning, since my speech in Parliament. He took Lord Brunker and me down to the guards, he and his company being upon the guards today, and there he did, in a handsome room to that purpose, make us drink, and did call for his bagpiper, which, with pipes of ebony tipped with silver, he did play beyond anything of that kind that ever I heard in my life. And with great pains he must have obtained it, but with pains that the instrument doth not deserve at all, for at the best it is mighty barbarous music. So home, and there to my chamber to prick out my song, It Is Decreed, intending to have it ready to give Mr. Harris on Thursday when we meet for him to sing, believing that he will do it more right than a woman that sings better, unless it were Nip, which I cannot have opportunity to teach it to. This evening I came home from Whitehall with Sir William Penn, who fell in talk about his going to sea this year, and the difficulties that arises to him by it, by giving offence to the prince and occasioning envy to him, and many other things that make it a bad matter at this time of want of money and necessaries, and bad and uneven counsels at home, for him to go abroad. And did tell me how much, with the King and Duke of York, he had endeavoured to be excused, desiring the prince might be satisfied in it, who hath a mind to go, but he tells me they will not excuse him, and I believe it, and truly do judge it a piece of bad fortune to William Penn. The 25th of March. Up and walked to Whitehall, there to wait on the Duke of York, which I did, and in his chamber there, first by hearing the Duke of York call me by my name, my Lord Burlington did come to me, and with great respect take notice of me and my relation to my Lord Sandwich, and express great kindness to me, and so to talk of my Lord Sandwich's concernments. By and by the Duke of York is ready, and I did wait for an opportunity of speaking my mind to him about Sir John Minnis's being unable to do the King any service, which I think doth become me to do in all respects, and have Sir William Coventry's concurrence therein, which I therefore will seek a speedy opportunity to do, come what will come of it. The Duke of York and all with him this morning were full of the talk of the prentices, who are not yet down, though the guards and militia of the town have been in arms all this night and the night before, and the prentices have made fools of them, sometimes by running from them and flinging stones at them. Some blood hath been spilt, but a great many houses pulled down, and among others the Duke of York was mighty merry at that of Damaris Pages, the great bawd of the seamen, and the Duke of York complained merrily that he hath lost two tenants by their houses being pulled down, who paid him for their wine licenses £15 a year. But here it was said how these idle fellows have had the confidence to say that they did ill in contenting themselves in pulling down the little bawdy houses, and did not go and pull down the great bawdy house at Whitehall. And some of them have the last night had a word among them, and it was reformation and reducement. This doth make the courtiers ill at ease to see this spirit among people, though they think this matter will not come to much. But it speaks people's mind. And then they do say that there are men of understanding among them that have been of Cromwell's army, but how true that is I know not. Thence walked a little to Westminster, but met with nobody to spend any time with, and so by coach homeward, and in Seething Lane met young Mistress Daniel, and I stopped, and she had been at my house but found nobody within, and tells me that she drew me for her valentine this year. So I took her into the coach and was going to the other end of the town with her, thinking to have taken her abroad. But remembering that I was to go out with my wife this afternoon, I only did hacer her para tocar my prick con her hand, which did hacerme hacer. And so to a milliner at the corner shop, going into Bishopsgate and Leadenhall Street, and there did give her 8 pair of gloves, and so dismissed her. And so I home and to dinner, and there with my wife to the King's Playhouse to see The Storm, which we did, but without much pleasure, it being but a mean play compared with The Tempest at the Duke of York's, though Nip did act her part of grief very well. Thence with my wife and Deb by coach to Islington to the old house, and there ate and drank till it was almost night, and then home, being in fear of meeting the prentices, who are many of them yet, they say, abroad in the fields. But we got well home, and so I to my chamber a while, and then to supper and to bed. The 26th of March. Up betimes to the office, where by and by my Lord Brunker and I met, and made an end of our business betimes, so I away with him to Mistress Williams's, and there dined. And thence I alone to the Duke of York's house to see the new play called The Man is the Master, where the house was, it being not above 1 o'clock, very full, but my wife and Deb being there before with Mistress Pierce and Corbett and Betty Turner, whom my wife carried with her, they made me room, and there I sat, it costing me 8 shillings upon them in oranges at 6 pence apiece. By and by the King came, and we sat just under him, so that I durst not turn my back all the play. The play is a translation out of French, and the plot Spanish, but not anything extraordinary at all in it, though translated by Sir William Davenant. And so I found the King and his company did think meanly of it, though there was here and there something pretty, but the most of the mirth was sorry poor stuff, of eating of sack posset and slabbering themselves, and mirth fit for clowns. The prologue but poor, and the epilogue little in it but the extraordinariness of it being sung by Harris and another in the form of a ballet. Thence, by agreement, we all of us to the Blue Balls, hard by, whither Mr. Pierce also goes with us, who met us at the play, and anon comes Manuel and his wife, and Nip and Harris, who brings with him Mr. Bannister, the great master of music. And after much difficulty in getting of music, we to dancing, and then to a supper of some French dishes, which yet did not please me. And then to dance and sing, and mighty merry we were till about 11 or 12 at night, with mighty great content in all my company. And I did, as I love to do, enjoy myself in my pleasure, as being the height of what we take pains for and can hope for in this world. And therefore to be enjoyed while we are young and capable of these joys. My wife, extraordinary fine today in her flower tabby suit, bought a year or more ago before my mother's death put her into mourning, and so not worn till this day, and everybody in love with it, and indeed she is very fine and handsome in it. I, having paid the reckoning, which came to almost £4, we parted. My company and William Batelier, who was also with us, home in a coach round by the wall, where we met so many stops by the watches that it cost us much time, and some trouble, and more money to every watch to them to drink, this being increased by the trouble the prentices did lately give the city, so that the militia and watches are very strict at this time, and we had like to have met with a stop for all night at the constable's watch at Moorgate, by a pragmatical constable. But we came well home at about 2 in the morning, and so to bed. This noon, from Mistress Williams, my Lord Brunker sent to Somerset House to hear how the Duchess of Richmond doth, and word was brought him that she is pretty well, but mighty full of the smallpox, by which all do conclude she will be wholly spoilt, which is the greatest instance of the uncertainty of beauty that could be in this age. But then she hath had the benefit of it, to be first married, and to have kept it so long under the greatest temptation in the world from a king, and yet without the least imputation. This afternoon at the play, Sir Freshville Hollis spoke to me as a secret and matter of confidence in me and friendship, to Sir William Penn, who is now out of town, that it were well he were made acquainted that he finds in the House of Commons, which met this day, several motions made for the calling strictly again upon the miscarriages, and particularly in the business of the prizes and the not prosecuting of the first victory, only to give an affront to Sir William Penn, whose going to sea this year doth give the matter of great dislike. So though I do not much trouble myself for him, yet I am sorry that he should have this fall so unhappily, without any fault but rather merit of his own that made him fitter for this command than anybody else, and the more for that this business of his may happily occasion their more eager pursuit against the whole body of the office. The 27th of March. Up and walked to the waterside, and thence to Whitehall to the Duke of York's chamber, where, he being ready, he went to a committee of Tangier, where I first understand that my Lord Sandwich is in his coming back from Spain, to step over thither to see in what condition the place is, which I am glad of, hoping that he will be able to do some good there for the good of the place, which is so much out of order. Thence to walk a little in Westminster Hall, where the Parliament I find sitting, but spoke with nobody to let me know what they are doing, nor did I inquire. Thence to the Swan and drank and did Bezar Frank, and so down by water, back again, and to the Exchange a turn or two, only to show myself, and then home to dinner, where my wife and I had a small squabble, but I first this day tried the effect of my silence and not provoking her when she is in an ill humour, and do find it very good, for it prevents its coming to that height on both sides, which used to exceed what was fit between us. So she became calm by and by, and fond, and so took coach and she to the mercer's to buy some lace, while I to Whitehall but did nothing, but then to Westminster Hall and took a turn, and so to Mistress Martin's, and there did sit a little and talk and drink and did affaire con her, and so took coach and called my wife at unthanks, and so up and down to the nursery, where they did not act, then to the new cockpit, and there missed, and then to Hyde Park, where many coaches, but the dust so great that it was troublesome, and so by night home, where to my chamber, and finish my pricking out of my song for Mr. Harris, it is decreed, and so a little supper, being very sleepy and weary since last night, and so by 10 o'clock to bed, and slept well all night. This day at noon comes Mr. Pelling to me, and shows me the stone cut lately out of Sir Thomas Adams, the old comely alderman, body, which is very large indeed, bigger, I think, than my fist, and weighs above 25 ounces, and, which is very miraculous, never in all his life had any fit of it, but lived to a great age without pain, and died at last of something else, without any sense of this in all his life. This day, Creed at Whitehall in discourse told me what information he hath had from very good hands of the cowardice and ill government of Sir Jeremy Smith and Sir Thomas Allen, and the repute they have, both of them, abroad in the Straits, from their deportment when they did at several times command there, and that above all Englishmen that ever was there, there never was any man that behaved himself like poor Charles Wager, whom the very Moors do mention with tears sometimes. The 28th of March. Up into the office, where all the morning busy, and at noon home to dinner with my clerks. And though my head full of business, yet I had a desire to end this holiday week with a play, and so with my wife and Deb to the King's House, and there saw The Indian Emperor, a very good play indeed. And thence directly home, and so to my writing of my letters, and so home to supper and to bed for fearing my eyes. Our greatest business at the office today is our want of money for the setting forth of these ships that are to go out, and my people at dinner did tell me that they do verily doubt that the want of men will be so great as we must press, and if we press, there will be mutinies in the town, for the seamen are said already to have threatened the pulling down of the Treasury Office, and if they once come to that, it will not be long before they come to ours. The 29th of March, Lord's Day. Up and I to church, where I have not been these many weeks before, and there did first find a strange reader, who could not find in the service book the place for churching of women, but was fain to change books with the clerk. And then a stranger preached, a seeming able man, but said in his pulpit that God did a greater work in raising of an oak tree from an acorn than a man's body raising it at the last day from his dust, showing the possibility of the resurrection. Which was, methought, a strange saying. At home, to dinner, Wither comes and dines with me, Will Howe, and by invitation Mr. Harris and Mr. Bannister, most extraordinary company both, the latter for music of all sorts, the former for everything. Here we sang and Bannister played on the theorbo, and afterward Bannister played on his flageolet, and I had very good discourse with him about music, so confirming some of my new notions about music, that it puts me upon a resolution to go on and make a scheme and theory of music not yet ever made in the world. Harris doth so commend my wife's picture of Mr. Hales's, that I will have him draw Harris's head, and he hath also persuaded me to have Cooper draw my wife's, which, though it cost £30, yet I will have done. Thus spent the afternoon most deliciously, and then broke up, and I walked with them as far as the Temple, and there parted, and I took coach to Westminster, but there did nothing, meeting nobody that I had a mind to speak with. And so home, and there find Mr. Pelling, and then also comes Mistress Turner, and sup and talk with us, and so to bed. I do hear by several that Sir William Penn's going to sea doth dislike the Parliament mightily, and that they have revived the Committee of Miscarriages to find something to prevent it, and that he, being the other day with the Duke of Albemarle to ask his opinion, touching his going to sea, the Duchess overheard and came into him, and asked William Penn how he durst have the confidence to offer to go to sea again, to the endangering the nation, when he knew himself such a coward as he was, which, if true, is very severe. The 30th of March. Up betimes, and so to my office there to do business, till about 10 o'clock, and then out with my wife and Deb and Will Hewer by coach to Common Garden Coffee House, where by appointment I was to meet Harris, which I did, and also Mr. Cooper, the great painter, and Mr. Hales, and thence presently to Mr. Cooper's house to see some of his work, which is all in little, but so excellent, as though I must confess I do think the colouring of the flesh to be a little forced, yet the painting is so extraordinary, as I do never expect to see the like again. Here I did see Mistress Stewart's picture as when a young maid, and now again done just before her having the smallpox, and it would make a man weep to see what she was then, and what she is like to be, by people's discourse, now. Here I saw my Lord General's picture, and my Lord Arlington and Ashley's, and several others, but among the rest one Swinfen, that was secretary to my Lord Manchester. Lord Chamberlain, with Cooling, done so admirably as I never saw anything. But the misery was, this fellow died in debt and never paid Cooper for his picture, but it being seized on by his creditors among his other goods, after his death, Cooper himself says that he did buy it and gave £25 out of his purse for it, for what he was to have had but £30. Being infinitely satisfied with this sight, and resolving that my wife shall be drawn by him when she comes out of the country, I away with Harris and Hales to the coffee-house, sending my people away, and there resolve for Hales to begin Harris's head for me, which I will be at the cost of. After a little talk, I away to Whitehall and Westminster, where I find the Parliament still boggling about the raising of this money, and everybody's mouth full now, and Mr. Wren himself tells me that the Duke of York declares to go to sea himself this year, and I perceive it is only on this occasion of distaste of the Parliament against William Penn's going, and to prevent the princes. But I think it is mighty hot counsel for the Duke of York at this time to go out of the way. But, Lord, what pass are all our matters come to? At noon, by appointment, to Cursitor's Alley, in Chancery Lane, to meet Captain Cock and some other creditors of the Navy, and their counsel, Pemberton, North, Offley, and Charles Porter. And there dined and talk of the business of the assignments on the Exchequer, on the £1.25 million on behalf of our creditors. And there I do perceive that the Council had heard of my performance in the Parliament House lately, and did value me, and what I said accordingly. At dinner we had a great deal of good discourse about Parliaments, their number being uncertain, and always at the will of the King to increase, as he saw reason to erect a new borough. But all concluded that the bane of the Parliament hath been the leaving off the old custom of the places, allowing wages to them that served them in Parliament, by which they chose men that understood their business and would attend it, and they could expect an account from, which now they cannot. And so the Parliament is become a company of men, unable to give account for the interest of the place they serve for. Thence the meeting of the Council with the King's Council this afternoon, being put off by reason of the death of Sergeant Maynard's lady, I to Whitehall, where the Parliament was to wait on the King, and they did, and it was to be told that he did think fit to tell them that they might expect to be adjourned at Whitsuntide, and that they might make haste to raise their money. But this, I fear, will displease them, who did expect to sit as long as they pleased, and whether this be done by the King upon some new counsels, I know not, for the King must be beholding to them till they do settle this business of money. Great talk today as if Beaufort was come into the Channel with about 20 ships, and it makes people apprehensive, but yet the Parliament doth not stir a bit faster in the business of money. Here I met with Creed, expecting a committee of Tangier, but the committee met not. So he and I, up and down, having nothing to do, and particularly to the new cockpit by the King's Gate in Holborn. But seeing a great deal of rabble, we did refuse to go in, but took coach and to Hyde Park, and there till all the tour was empty. And so he and I to the lodge in the park, and there ate and drank till it was night, and then carried him to Whitehall, having had abundance of excellent talk with him in reproach of the times and managements we live under. And so I home, and there to talk and to supper with my wife, and so to bed. The 31st of March. Up pretty betimes and to the office, where we sat all the morning, and at noon I home to dinner, where my Uncle Thomas dined with me, as he doth every quarter, and I paid him his pension. And also comes Mr. Holyard, a little fuddled, and so did talk nothing but Latin and laugh, that it was very good sport to see a sober man in such a humour, though he was not drunk to scandal. At dinner comes a summons for this office and the victualler to attend a committee of Parliament this afternoon with Sir Dennis Gordon, which I accordingly did, with my papers relating to the sending of victuals to Sir John Harmon's fleet. And there, Sir Robert Brooks in the chair, we did give them a full account. But, Lord, to see how full they are, and immovable in their jealousy that some means are used to keep Harmon from coming home, for they have an implacable desire to know the bottom of the not improving the first victory, and would lay it upon Brunker. Having given them good satisfaction, I away thence up and down, wandering a little to see whether I could get Mistress Burrows out. But Ella being in the shop, ego did speak con her, but she could not then go for us. And so I took coach and away to Unthanks, and there took up my wife and Deb, and to the park, where being in a hackney, and they undressed, I was ashamed to go into the tour, but went round the park, and so with pleasure home, where Mr. Pelling came and sat and talked late with us. And he being gone, I called Deb to take pen, ink, and paper, and write down what things came into my head for my wife to do, in order to her going into the country. And the girl, writing not so well as she would do, cried, and her mistress construed it to be sullenness, and so was angry, and I seemed angry with her too. But going to bed she undressed me, and there I did give her good advice, and besola, Ella weeping still, and yo did take her, the first time in my life, sobra mi genu, and did poner mi mano, sub her jupe, and toca su thigh, which did hacer me great pleasure, and so did no more but besandola, went to my bed. April 1668, the first. Up and to dress myself, and called, as I use, Deb to brush and dress me, and there I did again, as I did the last night, con mi mano, but would have toccado su thing, but Ella endeavoured to prevent me, con much modesty, by putting su hand there about, which I was well pleased with, and would not do too much, and so con great kindness dismissed la, and I to my office, where busy till noon, and then out to bespeak some things against my wife's going into the country tomorrow. And so home to dinner, my wife and I alone, she being mighty busy getting her things ready for her journey. I all the afternoon with her, looking after things on the same account, and then in the afternoon out and all alone to the King's House, and there sat in an upper box to hide myself, and saw The Black Prince, a very good play, but only the fancy, most of it the same as in the rest of my Lord Orrery's plays, but the dance very stately. But it was pretty to see how, coming after dinner and no company with me to talk to, and at a play that I had seen and went to now not for curiosity, but only idleness, I did fall asleep, the former part of the play, but afterward did mind it and like it very well. Thence called at my bookseller's and took Mr. Boyle's book of forms, newly imprinted, and sent my brother my old one. So home, and there to my chamber, till anon comes Mr. Turner and his wife and daughter, and Pelling to sup with us, and talk of my wife's journey tomorrow, her daughter going with my wife. And after supper to talk with our husband about the office and his place, which by Sir John Menace's age and inability is very uncomfortable to him, as well as without profit or certainty what he shall do when Sir John Menace dies, which is a sad condition for a man that hath lived so long in the office as Mr. Turner hath done. But he aims, and I advise him to it, to look for Mr. Ackworth's place in case he should be removed. His wife afterward did take me into my closet, and give me a cellar of waters of her own distilling for my father, to be carried down with my wife and her daughter tomorrow, which was very handsome, so broke up and to bed. The 2nd of April. Up after much pleasant talk with my wife, and upon some alterations I will make in my house in her absence, and I do intend to lay out some money thereon, so she and I up, and she got her ready to be gone, and by and by comes Betty Turner and her mother and William Batalier, and they and Deb, to whom I did give 10 shillings this morning to oblige her to please her mistress, and yo did besar her mucho, and also Jane, and so in two coaches set out about 8 o'clock toward the carrier, there for to take coach for my father's, that is to say my wife and Betty Turner, Deb and Jane. But I, meeting my Lord Anglesey going to the office, was forced to light in Cheapside, and there took my leave of them, not besando Deb, which you're at a great mind to. Left them to go to their coach, and I to the office, where all the morning busy. And so at noon, with my other clerks, Will Hewer being a day's journey with my wife, to dinner, where Mr. Pierce came and dined with me, and then with Lord Brunker, carrying his little kinswoman on my knee, his coach being full, to the Temple, where my lord and I light, and to Mr. Porter's chamber, where Cock and his counsel, and so to the attorney's, whither the Solicitor General came, and there their cause about their assignments on the £1.25 million Act was argued, where all that was to be said for them was said, and so answered by the Solicitor General beyond what I expected, that I said not one word all the time, rather choosing to hold my tongue and so mind my reputation with the Solicitor General, who did mightily approve of my speech in Parliament, than say nothing against him to no purpose. This, I believe, did trouble Cock and those gentlemen, but I did think this best for me. And so I do think that the business will go against them, though it is against my judgment, and I am sure against all justice to the men, to be invited to part with their goods, and be deceived afterward of their security for payment. Thence with Lord Brunker to the Royal Society, where they were just done, but there I was forced to subscribe to the building of a college, and did give £40. And several others did subscribe, some greater and some less sums, but several I saw hang off, and I doubt it will spoil the society, for it breeds faction and ill will, and becomes burdensome to some that cannot or would not do it. Here, to my great content, I did try the use of the otacousticon, which was only a great glass bottle broke at the bottom, putting the neck to my ear, and there I did plainly hear the dashing of the oars of the boats in the Thames to Arundel Gallery window, which, without it, I could not in the least do, and may, I believe, be improved to a great height, which I was mighty glad of. Thence, with Lord Brunker and several of them to the King's Head Tavern by Chancery Lane, and there did drink and eat and talk. And above the rest I did desire of Mr. Hook and my lord an account of the reason of concords and discords in music, which, they say, is from the equality of the vibrations. But I'm not satisfied in it, but will, at my leisure, think of it more, and see how far that doth go to explain it. So, late at night, by coach home with Mr. Colwall, and parted, and I to the office, and then to Sir William Penn, to confer with him and Sir Richard Ford and Young about our St. John Baptist prize. And so home, without more supper, to bed, my family being now little by the departure of my wife and two maids. The 3rd of April. Up and Captain Perryman came to me to tell me how Tatnall told him that this day one Howe is to charge me before the Commissioners of Prizes to the value of £8,000 in prizes, which I was troubled to hear, so fearful I am, though I know not that there is not a penny to be laid to my charge, that I dare not own, or that I have not owned under my hand. But upon recollection, it signifies nothing to me, and so I value it not, being sure that I can have nothing in the world to my hurt known from that business. So to the office, where all the morning to dispatch business, and so home to dinner with my clerks, whose company is of great pleasure to me for their good discourse in anything of the navy I have a mind to talk of. After dinner by water from the Tower to Whitehall, there to attend the Duke of York as usual, and particularly in a fresh complaint the Commissioners of the Treasury do make to him, and by to the Council this day of our having prepared certificates on the Exchequer to the further sum of near £50,000, and as soon as we had done with the Duke of York, we did attend the council, and there were called in, and did hear Mr. Solicitor make his report to the council in that business, which he did in a most excellent manner of words, but most cruelly severe against us, and so were some of the Lords Commissioners of the Treasury, as men guilty of a practice with the tradesmen to the King's prejudice. I was unwilling to enter into a contest with them, but took advantage of two or three words last spoke, and brought it to a short issue in good words. that if we had the king's order to hold our hands, we would. Which did end the matter, and they all resolved we should have it, and so it ended. And so we away, I vexed that I did not speak more in a cause so fit to be spoken, and wherein we had so much advantage. But perhaps I might have provoked the solicitor and the commissioners of the treasury, and therefore, since, I am not sorry that I forebore. Thence my Lord Brunker and I to the Duke of York's playhouse, and there saw the latter part of The Master is the Man, and thence by coach to Duck Lane to look for Marsenne in French, a man that hath writ well of music, but it is not to be had, but I have given order for its being sent for over, and I did hear by Descartes his little treatise of music, and so home, and there to read a little and eat a little, though I find that my having so little taste doth make me so far neglect eating that unless company invite, I do not love to spend time upon eating, and so bring emptiness and the colic. So to bed. This day I hear that Prince Rupert and Holmes do go to sea, and by this there is a seeming friendship and peace among all our great seamen. But the devil a bit there is any love among them, or can be. The 4th of April. Up betimes and by coach towards Whitehall, and took Aldgate Street in my way, and there called upon one Hayward that makes virginals, and did there like of a little espinets, and will have him finish them for me, for I had a mind to a small harpsicon, but this takes up less room and will do my business as to finding out of chords, and I am very well pleased that I have found it. Thence to Whitehall, and after long waiting did get a small running committee of Tangier, where I stayed but little, and little done, but the correcting two or three egregious faults in the charter for Tangier, after it had so long lain before the council, and been passed there and drawn up by the Attorney-General, so slightly are all things in this age done. Thence home to the office by water, where we sat till noon, and then I moved we might go to the Duke of York and the King presently, to get out their order in writing that was ordered us yesterday about the business of certificates, that we might be secure against the tradesmen, who, Sir John Banks by name, have told me this day that they will complain in Parliament against us, for denying to do them right. So we rose all of a sudden, being mighty sensible of this inconvenience we are liable to, should we delay to give them longer, and yet have no order for our indemnity. And I did dine with Sir William Penn, where my Lady Batten did come with desire of meeting me there, and speaking with me about the business of the £500 we demand of her for the chest. She doth protest before God she never did see the account, but that it was as her husband in his lifetime made it, and he did often declare to her his expecting £500, and that we could not deny it him for his pains in that business, and that he hath left her worth nothing of his own in the world, and that therefore she could pay nothing of it, come what will come, but that he hath left her a beggar, which I'm sorry truly for, though it is a just judgment upon people that do live so much beyond themselves in housekeeping and vanity as they did. I did give her little answer, but general words that might not trouble her, and so to dinner, and after dinner William Penn and I away by water to Whitehall, and there did attend the Duke of York, and he did carry us to the King's lodgings, but he was asleep in his closet, so we stayed in the green room where the Duke of York did tell us what rules he had of knowing the weather, and did now tell us we should have rain before tomorrow, it having been a dry season for some time. And so it did rain all night almost. And pretty rules he hath, and told Brunker and me some of them, which were such as no reason seems ready to be given. By and by the King comes out, and he did easily agree to what we moved, and would have the commissioners of the navy to meet us with him tomorrow morning, and then to talk of other things, about the Quakers not swearing, and how they do swear in the business of a late election of a knight of the Shire of Hertfordshire, in behalf of one they have a mind to have, and how my Lord of Pembroke will now and then, he says he hath heard him at the tennis court, swear to himself when he loses, and told us what pretty notions my Lord Pembroke hath of the first chapter of Genesis, how Adam's sin was not the sucking, which he did before, but the swallowing of the apple, by which the contrary elements begun to work in him, and to stir up evil passions, and a great deal of such fooleries which the King made mighty mockery at. Thence my Lord Brunker and I entered the park in his coach, and there took a great deal of air, saying that it was mighty dusty and so a little unpleasant. Thence to Common Garden with my Lord, and there I took a hackney, and home, and after having done a few letters at the office, I home to a little supper, and so to bed. My eyes being every day more and more weak, and apt to be tired. The 5th of April, Lord's Day. Up and to my chamber, and there to the writing fair some of my late music notions, and so to church, where I have not been a good while, and thence home and dined at home with Will Hewer with me, and after dinner he and I a great deal of good talk touching this office, how it is spoilt by having so many persons in it, and so much work that is not made the work of any one man but of all, and so is never done, and that the best way to have it well done were to have the whole trust in one, as myself, to set whom I please to work in the several businesses of the office, and me to be accountable for the whole, and that would do it, as I would find instruments. But this is not to be compassed, but something I am resolved to do about Sir John Minnis before it be long. Then to my chamber again, to my music, and so to church, and then home, and thither comes Captain Silas Taylor to me, the storekeeper of Harwich, where much talk, and most of it against Captain Dean, whom I do believe to be a high, proud fellow, but he is an active man and able in his way, and so I love him. He gone, I to my music again, and to read a little and to sing with Mr. Pelling, who came to see me and so spent the evening, and then to supper and to bed. I hear that 8 of the ringleaders in the late tumults of the prentices at Easter are condemned to die. The 6th of April. Betimes I to Alderman Backwell and with him to my Lord Ashley's, where did a little business about Tangier, and to talk about the business of certificates, wherein, contrary to what I could have believed, the King and Duke of York themselves, in my absence, did call for some of the commissioners of the Treasury, and give them direction about that business, which I, despairing to do anything on a Sunday, and not thinking that they would think of it themselves, did rest satisfied, and stayed at home all yesterday, leaving it to do something in this day. But I find that the King and Duke of York had been so pressing in it that my Lord Ashley was more forward for the doing of it this day than I could have been, and so I to Whitehall with Alderman Backwell in his coach, with Mr. Blaney, my Lord Secretary, and there did draw a rough draft of what order I would have, and did carry it in, and had it read twice and approved of before my Lord Ashley and 3 more of the Commissioners of the Treasury, and then went up to the Council Chamber, where the Duke of York and Prince Rupert and the rest of the Committee of the Navy were sitting, and I did get some of them to read it there, and they would have had it passed presently, but Sir John Nicholas desired they would first have it approved by a full council, and therefore a council extraordinary was readily summoned against the afternoon, and the Duke of York run presently to the King, as if now they were really set to mind their business, which God grant. So I thence to Westminster, and walked in the hall and up and down, the House being called over today, and little news, but some talk as if the agreement between France and Spain were like to be, which would be bad for us. And at noon with Sir Herbert Price to Mr. George Montagu's to dinner, being invited by him in the hall, and there mightily made of, even to great trouble to me to be so commended before my face, with that flattery and importunity that I was quite troubled with it. Yet he is a fine gentleman truly, and his lady a fine woman. And among many sons that I saw there, there was a little daughter that is mighty pretty, of which he is infinite fond, and after dinner did make her play on the guitar and sing, which she did mighty prettily, and seems to have a mighty musical soul, keeping time with most excellent spirit. Here I met with Mr. Brownlow, my old schoolfellow, who came thither, I suppose as a suitor to one of the young ladies that were there, and a sober man he seems to be. But here Mr. Montagu did tell me how Mr. Vaughan, in that very room, did say that I was a great man, and had great understanding, and I know not what, which I confess I was a little proud of, if I may believe him. Here I do hear as a great secret, that the King and the Duke of York and Duchess and my Lady Castlemaine are now all agreed in a strict league, and all things like to go very current, and that it is not impossible to have my Lord Clarendon in time here again, But I do hear that my Lady Castlemaine is horribly vexed at the late libel, the petition of the poor whores about the town, whose houses were pulled down the other day. I have got one of them, and it is not very witty, but devilish severe against her and the king, and I wonder how it durst be printed and spread abroad, which shows that the times are loose, and come to a great disregard of the king or court or government. Thence to Whitehall to attend the council, and when the council rose did find my order mightily enlarged by the Solicitor General, who was called thither, making it more safe for him and the council. But their order is the same in the command of it that I drew, and will, I think, defend us well. So thence, meeting Crete, he and I to the new cockpit by the king's gate, and there saw the manner of it and the mixed rabble of people that came thither, and saw two battles of cocks, wherein is no great sport, but only to consider how these creatures, without any provocation, do fight and kill one another, and aim only at one another's heads, and by their good wills not leave till one of them be killed. And thence to the park in a hackney coach, so would not go into the tour, but round the park and to the house, and there at the door ate and drank. Whither came my Lady Carnegie, of whom Creed tells me more particularly, how her lord, finding her and the Duke of York at the king's first coming in too kind, did get it out of her that he did dishonour him, and so he bid her continue to let him, and himself went to the foulest whore he could find, that he might get the pox, and did give his wife it on purpose, that she, and he persuaded and threatened her that she should, might give it the Duke of York, which she did, and he did give it the Duchess, and since all her children are thus sickly and infirm, which is the most pernicious and foul piece of revenge that ever I heard of. And he, at this day, owns it with great glory, and looks upon the Duke of York and the world with great content in the ampleness of his revenge. Thence, where the place was now by the last night's rain very pleasant and no dust, to Whitehall, and set Creed down, and I home into my chamber, there about my music notions again, wherein I take delight and find great satisfaction in them, and so, after a little supper, to bed. This day in the afternoon, stepping with the Duke of York into St. James's Park, it rained, and I was forced to lend the Duke of York my cloak, which he wore through the park. The 7th of April. Up and at the office all the morning, where great hurry to be made in the fitting forth of this present little fleet, but so many rubs by reason of want of money and people's not believing us in cases where we have money, unless, which in several cases cannot be, as in hiring of vessels, they be paid beforehand, that everything goes backward instead of forward. At noon comes Mr. Clark, my solicitor, and the auditor's men, with my account drawn up in the exchequer way with their queries, which are neither many nor great, or hard to answer upon it, and so dined with me, and then I by coach to the King's Playhouse, and there saw the English Monsieur, sitting for privacy's sake in an upper box. The play hath much mirth in it as to that particular humour. After the play done, I down to Nip and did stay her undressing herself, and there saw the several players, men and women, go by, and pretty to see how strange they are all one to another after the play is done. Here I saw a wonderful pretty maid of her own that came to undress her, and one so pretty that she says she intends not to keep her, for fear of her being undone in her service by coming to the playhouse. Here I hear that Sir William Davenant is just now dead, and so who will succeed him in the mastership of that house is not yet known. The eldest Davenport is, it seems, gone from this house to be kept by somebody, which I am glad of, she being a very bad actor. I took her then up into a coach and away to the park, which is now very fine after some rain. But the company was going away most, and so I took her to the lodge, and there treated her, and had a great deal of good talk, and now and then did besarla, and that was all, and that as much or more than I had much mind to, because of her paint. She tells me mighty news, that my Lady Castlemaine is mightily in love with Hart of their house, and he is much with her in private, and she goes to him and doth give him many presents, and that the thing is most certain, and Beck Marshall only privy to it, and the means of bringing them together, which is a very odd thing, and by this means she is even with the king's love to Mistress Davis. This done, I carried her and set her down at Mistress Manuel's, but stayed not there myself nor went in, but straight home and there to my letters, and so home to bed. The 8th of April. Up and at my office all the morning doing business, and then at noon home to dinner all alone, then to Whitehall with Sir John Minnis in his coach to attend the Duke of York upon our usual business, which was this day but little, and thence from Lord Brunker to the Duke of York's playhouse, where we saw The Unfortunate Lovers, no extraordinary play, methinks, and thence I to Drumblebiz, and there did talk a great deal about pipes, and did buy a recorder which I do intend to learn to play on, the sound of it being of all sounds in the world most pleasing to me. Thence home, and to visit Mistress Turner, where among other talk Mr. Foley and her husband being there, she did tell me of young Captain Holmes's marrying of Peg Lowther last Saturday by stealth, which I was sorry for, he being an idle rascal and proud, and worth little, I doubt, and she, a mighty pretty, well-disposed lady and good fortune. Her mother and friends take on mightily, but the sport is, Sir Robert Holmes doth seem to be mad too with his brother, and will disinherit him, saying that he hath ruined himself, marrying below himself and to his disadvantage. Whereas I said in this company that I had married a sister lately, with little above half that portion, that he should have kissed her breech before he should have had her, which, if Robert Holmes should hear, would make a great quarrel. But it is true, and I'm heartily sorry for the poor girl that is undone by it. So home to my chamber, to be fingering of my recorder and getting of the scale of music without book, which I at last see is necessary, for a man that would understand music as it is now taught, to understand, though it be a ridiculous and troublesome way, and I know I shall be able hereafter to show the world a simpler way. But like the old hypotheses in philosophy, it must be learnt, though a man knows a better. Then to supper and to bed. This morning Mr. Christopher Pett's widow and daughter came to me to desire my help to the King and Duke of York, and I did promise and do pity her. The 9th of April. Up and to the office, where all the morning sitting, then at noon home to dinner with my people, and so to the office again, writing of my letters, and then abroad to my booksellers, and I up and down to the Duke of York's playhouse, there to see, which I did, Sir William Davenant's corpse carried out toward Westminster, there to be buried. Here were many coaches and six horses, and many hackneys, that made it look, methought, as if it were the burial of a poor poet. He seemed to have many children by five or six in the first mourning coach, all boys, and there I left them coming forth, and I to the New Exchange, there to meet Mistress Burroughs, and did tomar her in a carosse, and carry ella toward the park, kissing her and tocando su breast, so as to make myself do, but did not go into any house, but came back and set her down at Whitehall, and did give her, wrapped in paper, for my Valentine's gift for the last year before this, which I never did yet give her anything for, 12 half-crowns. And so I back home, and there to my office, where came a packet from the Downs from my brother Balty, who with Harmon is arrived there, of which this day came the first news. And now the Parliament will be satisfied, I suppose, about the business they have so long desired between Brunker and Harmon, about not prosecuting the first victory. Balty is very well, and I hope hath performed his work well, that I may get him into further employment. I wrote to him this night, and so home, and there to the perfecting my getting the scale of music without book, which I have done to perfection, backward and forward, and so to supper and to bed. The 10th of April, Friday. All morning at office, at noon with William Penn to Duke of York, and attended council. So to Piper's, and Duck Lane, and there kissed bookseller's wife, and bought Legend. So home coach. To Sir William Penn, carrier. Mistress Hammond dead. The 11th of April, Saturday. News of peace. Conning my gamut. The 12th of April. Sunday. Dined at Brunker's and saw the news book. Peace. Cutting away sales. The 13th of April. Monday. Spent at Mitchell's. Sixpence. In the Folly. 1 shilling. Oysters. 1 shilling. Coach to William Coventry about Mr. Pett. 1 shilling. Thence to Commissioner's Treasury. 6 pence. And so to Westminster Hall by water. 6 pence. With George Montague and Roger Pepys. And spoke with Vaughan and Birch, all in trouble about the prize business. And so to Lord Crewe's, calling for a low pipe by the way, where Creed and George Montague and George Carteret came. 1 shilling. So with Creed to a play, Little Thief. 4 shillings. Thence towards the park by coach. 2 shillings and 6 pence. Came home, met with order of commissioners of accounts, which put together with the rest vexed me, and so home to supper and to bed. The 14th of April, Tuesday. Up betimes by water to Temple. In the way read the narrative about prizes, and so to Lord Crewe's bedside. And then to Westminster, where I hear Penn is sent for, by messenger last night. Thence to Commissioners of Accounts, and there examined. And so back to Westminster Hall, where all the talk of committing all to the Tower. And Creed and I to the Quakers dined together. Thence to the House, where rose about 4 o'clock, and with much ado, Penn got to Thursday to bring in his answer. So my Lord escapes today. Thence with Godolphin and George Montague to George Carteret's, and there sat their dinner time, and here myself by many Parliament men mightily commended. Thence to a play, Love's Cruelty, and so to my Lord Crewe, who glad of this day's time got, and so home, and there office a little, and then home to supper, and to bed, my eyes being bad, but better upon leaving drinking at night. Water, 1 shilling. Porter, 6 pence. Water, 6 pence. Dinner, 3 and 6. Play part, 2 shillings. Oranges, 1 shilling. Home coach, 1 and 6. The 15th of April. Wednesday. After playing a little upon my new little flageolet, that is so soft, that pleases me mightily, betimes to my office, where most of the morning, then by coach, 1 shilling, and meeting Lord Brunker, light at the Exchange and thence by water to Whitehall, 1 shilling, and there to the chapel expecting wind music, and to the harp and ball and drank all alone, 2 pence. Back and to the fiddling concert, and heard a practice mighty good of Grabu, and thence to Westminster Hall, where all cry out that the House will be severe with Penn, but do hope well concerning the buyers, that we shall have no difficulty which God grant. Here met Creed, and about noon he and I, and Sir Paul Neal to the Quakers, and there dined with a silly executor of Bishop Juxon and Cousin Roger Pepys. Business of money goes on slowly in the House. Thence to Whitehall by water, 6 pence, and there with Duke of York a little, but stayed not, but see him and his lady at his little pretty chapel, where I never was before, but silly devotions, God knows. Thence I left Creed and to the King's Playhouse, into a corner of the 18 pence box, and there saw The Maid's Tragedy, a good play. Coach, 1 shilling. Play and oranges, 2 and 6. Creed came dropping presently here, but he did not see me, and came to the same place, nor would I be seen by him. Thence to my Lord Crewe's, and there he came also after, and there with Sir Thomas Crewe, bemoaning my lord's folly in leaving his old interest by which he hath now lost all. An ill discourse in the morning of my lord's being killed, but this evening Godolphin tells us here that my lord is well. Thence with Creed to the Cock Alehouse, and there spent 6 pence, and so by coach home, 2 and 6, and so to bed. The 16th of April, Thursday. Greetings book, 1 shilling. Begin this day to learn the recorder, to the office where all the morning. Dined with my clerks and Mary at Sir William Penn's, crying yesterday, as they say, to the King, that he was his martyr. So to Whitehall by coach to Commissioner's Treasury, about certificates, but they met not. 2 shillings. To Westminster by water, to Westminster Hall, where I hear William Penn is ordered to be impeached. 6 pence. There spoke with many, and particularly with George Montagu, and went with him and Creed to his house, where he told me how William Penn hath been severe to Lord Sandwich, but the Coventrys both labouring to save him by laying it on Lord Sandwich, which our friends cry out upon, and I am silent, but do believe they did it as the only way to save him. It could not be carried to commit him. It is thought the house doth cool. William Coventrys being for him provoked Sir Robert Howard and his party. Court all for William Penn. Thence to Whitehall, but no meeting of the commissioners, and there met Mr. Hunt, and thence to Mistress Martin, and there did what I would, she troubled for want of employ for her husband, spent on her 1 shilling. Thence to the hall to walk a while, and ribbon, spent 1 shilling. So Lord Crewes, and there with George Carteret and my lord to talk, and they look upon our matters much the better, and by this and that time is got 1 shilling. So to the temple late and by water by moonshine home. 1 shilling. Books, 6 pence. Wrote my letters to my lady Sandwich, and so home, where displeased to have my maid bring her brother a countryman to lie there. So to bed. The 17th of April, Friday. Called up by Balti's coming, who gives me a good account of his voyage, and pleases me well, and I hope hath got something. This morning paid Royal Society £1 6 shillings. And so to the office all the morning. At noon, home to dinner with my people, and there much pretty discourse of Balti's. So by coach to Whitehall, the coachman on Ludgate Hill light, and beat a fellow with a sword. 2 and 6. Did little business with Duke of York. Hear that the house is upon the business of Harmon, who they say takes all on himself. Thence with Brunker to the King's House, and saw the surprisal, where bass singing, only nip. Who came after her song on the clouds to me in the pit, and there oranges, 2 shillings. After the play she and I, and Rolt, by coach. 6 and 6. To Kensington, and there to the Grotto, and had admirable pleasure with their singing, and fine ladies listening to us with infinite pleasure, I enjoyed myself. So to the tavern there, and did spend 16 and 6, and the gardener 2 shillings. Mighty merry, and sang all the way to the town a most pleasant evening moonshine, and set them at our house in Covent Garden, and I home and to bed. The 18th of April, Saturday. Up and my booksellers brought home books bound. The binding comes to 17 and 6. Advanced to my maid Bridget, £1. Sir William Penn at the office, seemingly merry. Do hear this morning that Harmon is committed by the Parliament last night, the day he came up. Which is hard, but he took all upon himself first. And then, when witness came in to say otherwise, he would have retracted, and the House took it so ill they would commit him. Thence home to dinner with my clerks, and so to Whitehall by water. 1 shilling. And there, a short committee for Tangier, and so to the King's Playhouse. 1 shilling. And to the play, the Duke of Lerma. 2 and 6. And oranges. 1 shilling. Thence by coach. 1 shilling. To Westminster, and the house again up, having been about money business. So home, by coach. 3 shillings. Calling in Duck Lane, and did get Descartes' music in English. And so home, and wrote my letters, and then to my chamber to save my eyes, and to bed. The 19th of April, Sunday. Lay long. Roger Pepys and his son came, and to church with me where William Penn was, and did endeavour to show himself to the church. Then home to dinner, and Roger Pepys did tell me the whole story of Harmon, how he prevaricated, and hath undoubtedly been imposed on and wheedled, and he is called the miller's man, that in Richard III's time was hanged for his master. So, after dinner, I took them by water to Whitehall, taking in a very pretty woman at Paul's Wharf, and there landed we, and I left Roger Pepys and to St. Margaret's Church, and there saw Betty, and so to walk in the Abbey with Sir John Talbot, who would fain have pumped me about the prizes, but I would not let him, and so to walk towards Mitchell's, to see her but could not, and so to Martin's, and her husband was at home, and so took coach, and to the park, and thence home, and to bed betimes. Water, 1 shilling. Coach, 5 shillings. Balti borrowed, £2. The 20th of April, Monday. Up and busy about answer to committee of accounts this morning about several questions which vexed me, though in none I have reason to be troubled. But the business of the flying greyhound begins to find me some care, though in that I am wholly void of blame. Thence.